I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pay that man his money.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Fox Sports will be paying Tom Brady 10 years, $375 million.
Pay that man his money.
The Rich Eisen Show.
He's going in the booth. Did not see that coming. Tom Brady, and you could knock me over with a feather.
Earlier on the show, Ravens defensive end Calais Campbell. Still to come, Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson. Plus, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Calais Campbell in hour number one. If you missed it, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all of your post-Rich Eisen Show viewing needs. And I use the word need appropriately because you do need it. We have Matt LaFleur calling in hour number three of the show. Later on in this program, I will preview the schedule release show that's going to be on NFL Network at 8 Eastern time tomorrow night that I will be honchoing as the schedule comes out tomorrow. And that will be genuinely exciting unless everybody who's a partner of the NFL gets to reveal their own schedule before our exclusive. Can everybody please stop doing that? Pissing me off. Is this thing on? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Brockman is still on the shelf, which means my wife, Susie Schuster, still there. Hello, Suze. Good to
Hi
see
there.
You. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. DJ Mikey D is sitting where he is, and TJ Jefferson. And you are where you are. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Please call in. We'll have a great conversation when you do. Pleased to have back here on the Rich Eisen Show now the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, one of my favorites, and I'd be saying that even if he wasn't on hold waiting to join our program, on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars from Duval County, Doug Peterson. How you doing, Doug?
Rich, I'm doing extremely well, thank you.
Absolutely outstanding. So when the schedule comes out on Thursday, first thing you look for is what?
Well, you really like to see your road games and how many back-to-back road trips you got. That's what you like to see first, and then I like to also check out and see if we have any primetime games. You know, the Sunday nights and the Monday nights. That's always something to look forward to. You know, when the schedule does come out that put your team on primetime television. So a couple of things, you know, the road games and then of course the primetime television games are something I always like to look for.
And what about bye week? What's your druthers on that front, Doug?
Well, it kind of depends for us. I mean, you know, and what I've done in the past is try to make the bye a little bit later, or at least have it sort of opposite of a Thursday game. You know what I mean? So if your Thursday game's early, then have your bye late, or vice versa, because it kind of gives you two byes in there, just a little bit. But you know, I would prefer it a little bit later. You know, mid-season ish, if possible. Just so you can get a couple games under your belt before you take a break.
Doug Peterson here on the Rich Eisen Show from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last time you and I spoke on this program, Doug, you were in your folks' house, getting ready for your son's pro day, right? And you were out of coaching for the moment. Now you are back in it. What are your thoughts being back in as a head coach in the NFL? I know that's a general question, but I mean, when you're out, you're out, and now you're back in. And I just wonder what goes through your mind as you come to work every day.
Yeah. Doug. You know, Rich, when you're out, you miss it. When you're out, you look for ways to get back in it. And, you know, that was me last year, as the year progressed, just finding opportunities to get back in. And as we know, I mean, the NFL season, there's always going to be opportunities at the end of the year, whether it's a head coach or a coordinator. And so I just, you know, I was preparing myself that way a year ago, and getting the opportunity here in Jacksonville obviously was a team that, you know, had some turmoil last year, obviously, and that's behind us. But at the same time, it was a team that it really caught my attention, obviously, with the quarterback and the talent, you know, on this roster. And it was a team that was intriguing for me. And I was, you know, obviously honored to have a couple interviews with you know, Shad Khan and Trent Baalke. And you know, they felt comfortable enough to hire me and put me in this position. And so, you know, just thrilled to be back in. I'm refreshed, recharged, and ready to go.
See, you just mentioned two things there, Doug Peterson, about what makes your situation that you've reentered as a head coach into the NFL so unique. And one of them is obviously Trevor Lawrence. So what have you seen from him? What's the first thing you saw from him where you're like, okay, I get it. That kid I saw at Clemson, and I thought I had no chance of coaching when I was sitting there in Philadelphia, is now my quarterback. Yeah. What have you had those moments, and if so, what are they?
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, and that, what sort of drew me to here and really to him was just, you know, this kid is young. Number one, you know, he came out early, and he's a really good passer. You know, he's very eager to learn. He's a smart kid. Things that we've seen already here in the off-season program. You know, he's the first one in. He just wants he's a sponge, you know, and guy that you can shape and mold and really sky's the limit with him. Athletic, can move, you know, comes from a system in college where it was very, you know, play action pass and movement and RPO game and things that we can bring, you know, as an offense to Jacksonville and just his leadership. You know, the fact that he played, you know, the entire season last year, this kid's not a rookie, but at the same time, you know, we're kind of starting over with him and just building him from the ground up, and you know, he's embracing that and showing really good improvement every day.
When you say starting over with him, what do you mean by that, Coach?
I think just fundamentally, just starting over, trying to erase last year and a lot of the things and be positive with him and just teach him the fundamentals of playing the game. And not just throwing the ball, not the mechanics of it, but just playing the quarterback position and what it takes to be a leader on your football team, be the face of the franchise, how to be a pro, you know. I mean, really, he's young. And so just showing him how to do it, how to study tape, what to study, you know, and really getting him to verbalize with us as a staff, you know, what he likes and doesn't like. And I think that's part of the process of starting over with him and just building it from, you know, from the ground floor up.
Now, clearly you communicating with your new quarterback about what do you like, what don't you like, and then talking to him about your system coming in, that's totally normal, for the lack of a better phrase, when somebody comes into a new situation like you are. But everything else about learning how to be a professional and studying what you need to study and be ready for what you need to be ready for, did he not learn anything like that last year from your sense?
No, he did. He did. But there's just things that I think that we can help him be better at. And I think as a staff, you know, Mike McCoy, former, you know, coordinator, former head coach, is his position coach, and then myself, and, you know, Press Taylor has worked in that room before as my, you know, he's now my offensive coordinator. So there's guys that I have on staff that have been, you know, in his shoes and walked where he is currently walking, and we can really provide a lot of, you know, leadership for him that way. And you know, and by him playing those 17 games last year, really kind of gives him a leg up, you know, going into this off season. But we can refine some things with him. We can really show him, you know, what to look for, what to do within our system, within the defensive structure, and help him become the best version of Trevor Lawrence.
Doug Peterson, Jacksonville Jaguar head coach, here on the Rich Eisen Show. And we just talked about one half of the situation that you are now in Jacksonville. As a new head coach, that makes it so unique, and that's having a jewel like Trevor Lawrence, somebody who came in the league universally believed to be so talented at the quarterback position. And the other is the manner in which your predecessor did his job and got fired the year before. Did you find a shell-shocked organization when you arrived there, Coach Peterson?
Yeah, it was different, you know, and it's a unique situation, obviously, and it's unfortunate. There's a lot of great people here, and a lot of really good people in the front office and in football ops and everywhere. And it's just, I think to be stunned, you know, is to say the least a little bit. You know, nobody wants to ever go through a season like that. And, you know, of course I wasn't here, mm-hmm. so it's hard to really, you know, put words to it, but I can only, you know, just sort of empathize with them and build off of what we're doing, build off of the new, build off of, you know, a culture that we're trying to establish here and really flip the page and, you know, breathe breath of fresh air and just really, you know, listen, I've got to gain the trust of the players in the organization. That's, you know, that's part of who I am now as the head coach. And mm-hmm. that's something that, you know, is going to come with time. And that's something that we're working on each and every day, is just gaining the trust of the players, you know, in me as the head coach and the staff. So it's heading in the right direction. The guys are excited. There's a lot of energy, a lot of young guys here. They're excited to be on the grass and go through these, you know, phase two type practices and looking forward to OTAs and obviously training camp here coming pretty soon.
And before turning that page, though, or in the process of turning the page, just one last question on that. Do you feel part of your job, Doug Peterson, is healing, that you have a healing portion of your job coming in?
I agree with that. I do. I think there's a part of that. I know this is professional football, but listen, it's also life, too. And these kids and the people that are here have families outside of this business and this organization, obviously. And I think part of, you know, the healing process is the best we can to flip the script and to try to gain the trust, you know, of these players. And so I do agree with that. I do agree that there is some level of healing that has to take place. And it has taken place and is taking place. But, you know, we're not where we need to be, obviously, right now. We're gonna continue to work at that.
Doug Peterson, Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. A few minutes left with this man here on the Rich Eisen Show, and I greatly appreciate your time. So let's talk about the decision your team and your organization and you had atop the NFL draft. Trayvon Walker's there, and so is Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan. My unprofessional way to ask the question when you chose Walker over Hutchinson is, what's your malfunction? The professional way is to say, what made you choose Trayvon Walker, Doug Peterson? Sorry to go unprofessional on me.
You went all over the place with that question. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of whatever going on there.
Well, it's just a Wolverine in me, man. But
let's just cut to the chase. You know, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
And there are two really good players there in both Trayvon and Aiden at the top of our draft board. And you know, let me just go back a little bit. You know,
sure.
Obviously, Cam Robinson, you know, our left tackle, mm-hmm. we were able to get his contract done, you know, prior to the draft and keep him here. I think the sky's the limit with him. So solidifying our offensive line that way really. Really kind of helped too in some of the decisions we made in the draft. And then we look at these two players and both are high character guys. Both would be great in our room, in our locker room, good leaders. And for us, it was just the potential, the upside, the things that we saw. And, you know, as you know, Rich, I mean, as coaches, we're privy to a lot of film and a lot of conversations that a lot of people don't get, right? And a lot of information. And part of our job is to gain that information. And we just felt at the time that, and even sitting here today, that, you know, the best for our organization was Trayvon Walker. And that's nothing against Aiden. I mean, because I think he's a great player and he's going to have a great career in this league. But for us, you know, we got to make a decision, and we made it. And love everything about Trayvon. We get him in here this weekend for our rookie mini camp, and we're excited to go to work with him. And really, when you look at his body of work at Georgia, you know, he from day one, the day he got there, they moved him all up and down that defensive front, and it's a very versatile player. And there's a lot of lot of unique things that he can do along the defensive front. And for us, you know, we feel like he's going to be a good outside edge rusher, you know, with Josh Allen and, you know, KC, Caleb on Chase on, and these guys that we have, and, you know, Jordan Smith, and he just adds to that room. And it was a position that, you know, we addressed in the draft, and we're happy and we're excited and can't wait to get him in here.
He's a terrific player. You know, I'm just having fun. He's a terrific player. The combine, he was superb. And I don't think you got to see what he can do at Georgia, which is amazing to say such a thing out loud, but because of who else was there, right, around, and that we saw in the draft how many players got drafted from that team and that side of the ball. And then on top of it, you take a look at the offseason acquisitions your team and you guys made before the draft. I mean, Christian Kirk and Zay Jones and Evan Engram and Brandon Sheriff on the offensive side, and then a bold-faced name player on each level of the defense free agency. What can you tell your fans to expect? I mean, your first year head coach with this team, but you have won a Super Bowl. You got a ring on your resume. You've got a vast history as a player in this game at the position that, you know, the most important prospect on your team plays. What can you tell fans of Duval what to expect this year, Coach?
Well, I think what you can expect, you got to look at first thing you got to do is you got to look at our division in the AFC South, and you have to address the portion of the game that kind of stares you in the face, and this is a power run game, you know, with you know the big runner in Tennessee and Indy, and you know, you have to stop the run, and you have to be built to stop the run, and then be able to rush the passer. I mean, you got to have guys that can do that on defense, and so we addressed the offensive issues and needs, you know, obviously in free agency, and went out and got, you know, shored up the offensive line, got some help for Trevor at the skill positions, and you know, and then we went and we kind of secured the middle, you know, the middle of our defense with Fotokasi and Olakun, you know, two guys that are veteran players that have had really good careers, young players that give you great depth at you know, the D tackle spot, the linebacker spot, and you know, and then we addressed the edge rusher in the draft, and so now you can build your football team to stop the run and then put pressure, you know, put pressure on the passer. And that's kind of the focus that, you know, we took and the strategy that we took here in building this team for this year. And, you know, it's going to be exciting once we get into camp. There's going to be some great battles, obviously, at these positions, and looking forward to that when we finally get the pads on. But I think that's what we have to take a look at and build your team that way. And, you know, in the past, there's been some really good players here. There just hasn't been a lot of the depth, you know, on your roster. And now we're creating the depth that you can go into a season with and you know, sort of plug and play guys and be excitable, you know. Obviously, you got to have the ability to throw the football in the NFL, and that's why we did what we did with the guys around Trevor.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Devin Lloyd and Chad Mumo, you know, linebackers. Mumo had a great combine. He was just lighting up that dome, man. And you got some good players, some good kids, and I couldn't be happier for you. Couldn't be happier
for you
in that position. Yeah. And you're bringing back Ice Cream Saturdays, Coach?
That's kind of Ice Cream Saturdays will be back. Okay. We're not giving those up. Okay. Not giving those up. They'll be back, and can't wait to dive into some vanilla ice cream soon.
That's it? That's your choice? That's it? Straight up? Nothing? Nothing in there?
Rich, I'm not fancy. I am not fancy. It's straight vanilla. I may put some chocolate sauce or some strawberry on it, but other than that, I'm not fancy.
Straight up.
Simple.
Straight up. Coach, thanks for the time, Doug. Chatting with you, and let's do this again soon. Thanks again. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
Take care, man. That's Doug Peterson, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You guys
vanilla?
Know
vanilla? Just plain vanilla?
You know, I mean, it's at least look, for Jacksonville Jaguar fans, at least that's not going to be the way that you describe your offense. Just
what
the coach.
A waste of an opportunity to have ice cream.
Certainly with the Shad Khan bankroll. I mean,
wouldn't you think there'd be like a great Sunday bar now set up in that?
Well, it sounds like he's not going to scrimp on the fixins. It's just it's just the flavor. He's straight vanilla.
But if you could have an ice cream situation.
Yes.
You wouldn't go straight vanilla.
Well, you know what my choice is. You know what my choice is. It's the old chocolate chip cookie dough.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, with big chunks of the cookie dough in there.
Why would you just go straight vanilla when you can have all that texture?
No, he says he's not a fancy man.
No. I'm vanilla. I'm straight vanilla.
Oh, you are?
I believe that.
How is that possible, Mike?
Why?
I like vanilla, but coffee ice cream, second favorite.
Amazing.
Coffee ice cream is amazing.
Susie loves the coffee ice cream too. And I'm like, look, that's great in the morning. I don't need that as a palate cleanser at night. Like, that doesn't cleanse your palate at all.
And chocolate chip cookie dough does? That's not a palate cleanser.
Exactly.
Lemon sorbet is a palate cleanser.
It is a palate boost.
Satiator?
Yes, it is. Very good. Yeah. Yes. Palate satiator. Yeah, chocolate chip cookie dough with the big big chunks of it.
Uh-huh.
You got to have it. What's your choice? What's your go-to? If there was a Rich Eisen Show ice cream, because again, Doug Peterson, for those who don't know, Doug Peterson on Saturday nights when the team meets the night before a game, he serves ice cream.
Okay.
The latest example of what he will do that Urban Meyer did not. So, ice cream Saturdays.
Yes.
Big in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it worked. Team building.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately,
Until Carson Wentz hit that rocky road, if you will.
Well,
thanks so much.
Speaking of which,
I'll be here all week.
Well done.
You took my answer.
Rocky Road?
Rocky Road is my favorite ice cream.
Rocky Road. Big.
I don't eat ice cream a ton anymore, but yeah.
Right. And by the way, thankfully we have the real estate to have this conversation right now. It's very important.
I'll bring ice cream tomorrow. Ice cream Thursday?
Jaguar fans are like, come on, you just had the coach on. He's clearly got his head screwed on straight. He's got the organization's head screwed on straight. The quarterback clearly has a guy who now knows how to make him a professional. They crushed it in free agency and the draft, and they have it all working in a way. And the only thing we pull out of that conversation is an ice cream conversation. And the answer to that is yes. So,
faux show.
Where did Rocky Road come from? Is it a Colorado confection, or is it because it's filled with stuff that looks like it's on a roadside, right? Like the crumble and the dark.
Yeah, the marshmallows. Well, the chocolate chips,
but
the
how
nuts?
Is marshmallow part of a rocky road? Did you look this up, Mike? Have you done that?
It is actually from Oakland, California.
Okay.
And he cut up walnuts and marshmallows with his wife sewing scissors and added them to his chocolate ice cream. His name was William Dreyer, so it's a Dreyer's ice cream.
And why do you call it Rocky Road, though?
And it's... I don't
see. So you like walnuts and marshmallow and your chocolate ice cream? Is that what you're saying?
But if that's what's in Rocky Road, then yeah.
Of course it's called Rocky Road.
In it? No, I mean, I know it's in it. Like,
it's called Rocky Road because it's not smooth. There's some bumps in the road, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So it's a rocky road. I don't like marshmallows in my ice cream.
Do you like how she just punctuated her philosophizing on ice cream with a
interesting. Not how I would do it.
Funny, ice cream, people either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
Who hates ice cream?
No, I'm talking about
Rocky
Road. Flavors.
Oh, okay.
Like flavors. It's like, I don't strawberry. Cherry.
I'm a pizza. I'm like Doug Peterson when it comes to pizza.
Okay.
Cheese, margarita, whatever. Just straight up. I don't need meats. I don't need anything else on it.
After the Wall Street crash of 1929, Dwyer and his wife gave the flavor its current name to, quote, give folks something to smile about in the midst of the Great Depression.
So the Depression is the rocky road.
Yes.
Not the consistency of the ice cream.
It was the Depression was
the
rocky.
But I sounded like I knew I was talking. You're taking my buzz away.
Especially since you gave it a
Again, this is Wikipedia. We don't know what's real and what isn't real.
Also, in Wikipedia, I'm still working on ABC. So what do you believe? My take?
And we only have one child.
For that,
out of three.
By the way, there's nothing more depressing than plain vanilla. That's depressing.
No, vanilla with a little hot fudge.
With.
With
there you go.
Like, I bought vanilla the other day.
Straight vanilla?
You got to spruce it up.
I brought some vanilla the other day because I had some root beer. So I was like, I'll make a root beer float. Oh, wow. So that was acceptable. But yeah, just on
tomorrow, I'm going to show up with several containers of ice cream.
And
we're
going to
have a taste test.
Or no.
Okay. No, because I feel like the mimosas are for when he's not here. That was celebrating that I'm sitting over there.
Gotcha. Right. Okay. She doesn't want Brockman to miss out.
I feel bad.
That's literally is what she said when she's like, Chris isn't there. Yeah. You're here.
I wouldn't have thought of him like that. But
I don't want to have a party with you there. Is literally what she said to me as we were leaving the house after she sent me to the supermarket last night to get everything.
No.
By the way.
That was before he accused me of driving wildly.
All right, now we need to take a break.
Which, by the way, we just tweeted out that tribe to work. So
people can comment on it. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. You want to chime in on anything? Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Tomorrow on Netflix. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your calls in a moment. So I'm hosting the scheduled release show tomorrow night on NFL Network, exclusive on NFL Network, except for the fact that NFL partners, it's been really a scheduled release week. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, now the new booth at ESPN, made the announcement that there's two games in week two. They're going to have two games, one on ESPN, one on ABC, staggered by about an hour between the kickoff starts. Titans and Bills, and then the Vikings are playing that night against, who is that? Who are they playing that night? Well, at any rate, they're playing in that week two night. They made that announcement. And then CBS announced it's going to be Denver at the Rams on Christmas Day. That kind of got a little bit stomped. By the way, it's the Vikings and Eagles. On that night on ESPN in week two. And then, or ABC actually is that game.
ABC, yeah.
So CBS made that announcement for Christmas Day, and that got kind of stomped on by the news that Brady's joining Fox. So Fox had their announcement today. Jimmy Johnson went on Fox and Friends to talk about the Packers, and it was really odd when Brian Kilmeade thought he meant the Democrats putting more justices on the Supreme Court. That's really awkward. But then they revealed that it was to talk about football. And Dallas at Green Bay is coming to Fox week 10. That's part of the schedule release stuff. Is just like, hey, now you know when it is. But then it's also like, okay, week 10, whenever I get around to it. The schedule release is interesting, and then it'll be like, I'll make a note of that. But it is always great to find out when the games are.
Yeah.
Because we already know the games are going to take place. We just know, again, as soon as the season's over, who plays who and who plays who where. That gets announced right away, because a lot of it is all based in terms of which division plays which division in an annual basis, and then which team finishes in a certain position in their division, playing on another team that plays that finishes in the same place in another division. That's the way the schedule gets put together. But that's the one thing that NFL Network did at its outset to create content out of something that nobody ever created content out of before, which was the schedule release. And it's amazing to see all these shows do this by announcing a game and making it a whole week-long situation, because when we first started the schedule release show on NFL Network, they're like, what are you doing? So I have here my top 10 games that I cannot wait to see when they are. The top 10 games I'm looking forward to seeing in 2022. Do you have NFL Films music for me? Here we go. First up, number 10, it's Carson Wentz's return to Philadelphia. That has never happened since he was sent packing to the Colts, who then sent him packing to go back in the division. This will be a division game. Commanders at Eagles. Wentz versus Hurts, the man who replaced Wentz until Hurts was replaced by Nate Sudfeld, something I didn't bring up with Doug Peterson since he's turned the page on that. This will be fascinating when Carson Wentz shows up to Philadelphia. That is game number 10 on my list. Can you make this a little lower? Number 9 on this list, Buccaneers and Cowboys. This is going to be fascinating for many reasons. Obviously, a rematch of last year's season opener. This time, though, it's in Dallas. Brady, did you know 6-0 all time against the Cowboys? The most wins by any quarterback without a loss against the Cowboys all time. The only time Brady's ever made an appearance, though, at the Jones Mahal, back in 2015 when the Patriots won 30-7 against Brandon Whedon, who was starting for the injured Tony Romo, who's now a broadcaster with CBS and made so much cheddar that Fox then doubled that salary to make Brady a broadcaster. And Brady will be broadcasting, I think, the most games of his Fox career from this building in Dallas. So take a look around, Tom, as you're playing in Dallas, because you're going to be up in the booth.
Get familiar.
At some point, just look up above the 50-yard line. That's going to be your new home more often than not. That's game number 9 on my list. Game number 8 on my list, and I never thought I would say this, but this is the way of the world now, folks. Bills at Bengals. I am looking forward to the first ever meeting between Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. They only combined for 9,018 passing yards and 70 passing touchdowns last year. Bills at Bengals. That's probably going to be a nationally televised game, unless CBS says, nah. But I think they're going to save their preemptory for another one of these games latest on this list. Number 7 on my list is Rams at Bucks. Yep. The game that at the time, and then a few weeks later, we thought was Tom Brady's last game as a professional. Well, Tom's running it back, and we're running it back. The divisional playoff game that was absolutely off the charts. Rams taking a big lead, Brady making a comeback to tie the game, and then Matthew Stafford, a 5-play, 63-yard drive in 42 seconds, including that one up top to Cup, to lead the game-winning field goal. Again, a replay of what would have been Brady's last game, but clearly is not. Number 6 on my list, Browns at Texans. Enough said. Deshaun Watson's return to Houston. Now, the reason why I can't wait to see when this game is scheduled. Let's see what the schedule makers think might happen with a suspension. Will this game be week 10, week 14, or later? Because they want to make sure that it's not Jacoby Brissett at Davis Mills? Is there any communication potentially where the schedule makers are calling up the office of RG1 to say, hey, can you give us an idea of should we not put in week 4? What do you think? Not week 6? What week do you think we should put this in? I can't wait to see when that's revealed. Number 5 on my list, I'm going back to the Bengals. Bengals at Buccaneers. Yes, sir. The first and maybe only meeting ever between Joe Burrow and Tom Brady. And Burrow last year, all those comparisons, all of them to Tom Brady. Year 2 making the Super Bowl, looking like he knows exactly what he's doing way beyond his years in the Super Bowl run. It's going to be Burrow versus Brady. Only a 19-year age difference between the two quarterbacks.
That's it.
Number four on the list, and this is the one that we learned about on Fox and Friends earlier in the day. Cowboys at Packers. This is going to be week 10. We already know, but I made this list before that was revealed today. Mike McCarthy returning to Lambeau Field, 13 seasons as a Green Bay Packer head coach, won a Super Bowl, as we all know, in Dallas in that stadium. But this one is in Green Bay, where he had 6 division titles, 9 playoff appearances, but got fired because he lost at home to the 4-7-1 Packers in week 13. They sent him packing, don't forget, mid-season. And by the way, the last time the Cowboys played in Green Bay was Dak's rookie year. When he he had 247 yards and 3 touchdowns in that big win in Green Bay. Zeke, 28 carries, 157 yards.
McCarthy lost to the Cardinals.
That's right. Okay. What did I say?
I thought you said you lost to the Packers.
No, I'm sorry. Lost to the Cardinals, yeah. Yeah. Packers lost to the Cardinals. My bad. Number 3 on the list. I can't wait to know when Bobby Wagner is going back to Seattle. Rams at Seahawks. Always a terrific game. Always a terrific game when these two teams play each other. The Rams, by the way, have won 5 of their last 6 meetings with Seattle, including the playoffs. But Bobby Wagner, as we all know, after 10 years, released on the same night that Russell Wilson was traded. Rams at Seahawks is number 3 on my list. Cannot wait for that divisional battle and to see when that will be scheduled. Number 2 on the list is a rematch of the AFC divisional game that was so epic, Bills at Chiefs. As we all know, two teams combined for 25 points in the final 2 minutes of regulation. The first playoff game in NFL history with 3 go-ahead touchdowns being scored in the final 2 minutes of regulation. Patrick Mahomes has gotten the Bills and Josh Allen 3 out of 4 times. This will be matchup number 5 all time between these two quarterbacks that will be playing each other, I would imagine, year after year after year, most likely because they might finish in the same position in their respective divisions, meaning they play each other the next year. But back in the day when Brady and Manning didn't finish in the same position in their final standings, the gods somehow saw to it that they played each other. I think we're going to see Allen versus Mahomes every year, and I can't wait for this iteration of that. And then the number one game I cannot wait to see when it is scheduled is Broncos at Seahawks. Russell Wilson going back to Seattle is going to be off the charts. Wilson, by the way, 292 career touchdown passes with the Seahawks. 2nd most with the team before being traded by that team in NFL history. The only other one with more is Favre, who had 442 with the Packers before he was traded to the Jets. Russell Wilson will join Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, and Joe Montana as the only quarterbacks to face a team he won 100 or more games with. That is why that is the top game I am looking forward to seeing getting scheduled.
Like that.
We make that announcement on NFL Network Thursday night. There's a few left out there when the Raiders and Patriots play each other. Obviously, Belichick against a longtime assistant and Josh McDaniels. That's one. The Bengals play a host of teams that I cannot wait to see them play. One of them being the Chiefs, a rematch of the AFC Championship game. But I went divisional round instead. That is just, it's amazing when you see both championship games get replayed or rematched the year after. No Super Bowl rematch scheduled. The Bengals do not play the Rams in the regular season. But this is my list, and I can't wait to reveal the rest of it tomorrow night. Let us take a break. We'll come back. We'll take phone calls and set up our third hour. Matt LaFleur of the Green Bay Packers will be joining us at the top of the next hour. That's our phone number, 844-204-RICH. Back with more in a moment.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about
how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let us go to Nick in Portland, Oregon. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Rich, I appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call.
Did we wake you up, Nick?
As always, first off, I'd like to say hi to Susie. I don't usually get a chance to say hi to her as she when she hosts, so it's a pleasure being able to be on the phone with both of you guys there. This is pretty incredible.
Hey, Nick, you know Rich is here, right? He can hear that.
Yeah. You know, Nick, I'll just tell you. I'll just tell you this. I'll just tell you this.
I mean, my man's sitting
right
here.
Get out of my chair.
When a guy picks up his phone out of breath and says, I want to say hello to your wife, it's a little off-putting.
Sorry, I'm working, and I've had pneumonia for the past week.
Oh, so sorry.
I'm doing the best I can.
I'm a jerk.
What a bully, Rich.
Make a phone call. So.
Hi, Nick. Guess what I will do? I'll find some way to punish him. Empty the dishwasher. Do something. Pick up. Do the laundry.
So, well, here's the deal. I love it. Absolutely love it that you include your family in your show and include us in a little bit of what goes on in your day to day. And there's nothing that means more to me than my own family. I've talked about this on your show before. Mm-hmm. And, so, you know, I really appreciate that you include us in this. So I can't wait to hear how your son Coop, threw some balls last night and figured it out. Hopefully, and did not double dip in the sports arena. So, you know, kudos for you for knowing what's important and versus playoffs and regular season. So I get that. So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you. Appreciate what you guys bring to the table and just giving us a piece and a glimpse of your humanity. Right. I mean, you guys are. I've known you for most of my life. I grew up watching you on SportsCenter. I'm a 45-year-old man with 3 kids. So, you know, I'm just living vicariously through your radio show.
I
appreciate it.
We're living a similar existence, man. Thanks for the call. And I'm sorry I was assuming you were creeping me out by talking to my wife on live radio on TV like that. Feel better, man. Thanks for the call.
I'm sure that's not the first time you've had to assume that. So we're good.
This is true. Thank you for the call, brother. I appreciate it.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen Hilton.
That's it. By the way, that was during...
They came out of nowhere.
That was Barkley during the pandemic when we were all shut in, and they decided to still have the match anyway in front of no fans, right? That was Peyton and Barkley. Brady and Mickelson and Tiger.
Tiger, yeah.
And we're all sitting at home, and all of a sudden, you know, I tweeted out, like, this is the greatest. I'm so thankful that we have this. We're watching this as we're all, you know. I forget what I said basically in the pandemic. Like, I can't believe that we're doing this, but I'm so glad that we are. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And then Barkley, who's on the call, said that.
One more time, Mike.
And I paused it.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen Hilton.
That was like, wait a minute. What did he just say?
And then I Venmoed him.
You Venmoed him.
Charles knows where his bread is buttered. I'm just saying.
So there's that.
Hope you're feeling better, Nick, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's get to it here. Nick was referring to yesterday's program where, Suze, you said that you were receiving reports from the home front that Cooper, our 11-year-old son, who was starting for the Rays in his playoff Little League game, went to school in his full soccer uniform and shin guards. Shin guards to go to school. Just in case, he was going to get, you know, an inadvertent kick during language arts?
Maybe he listens to me. He stays ready, so he don't got to get ready.
That's exactly right. He doesn't want to be delinquent getting onto the field.
I understand. Yes.
He wants to be ready.
Respect that.
And I used a rare peremptory in our family's decision-making process to say no soccer. He needs to be ready. He's starting a playoff game. This soccer game is a regular season game. You, Del Tufo, said you, and you agreed, he should pull a Dion, let him play both.
Let them play.
You know, there's no helicopter to get him from the school to the field. And I pulled the John Schuerholz in this Dion equation and I said, no.
You pulled the dad card. You did.
We're not doing this. And so Coop did, in fact, start the game, did not play soccer.
Okay.
And he started the game and how do we say this without getting into any trouble? The umpire squeezed the strike zone.
Oh.
And it was a life lesson for our son, who gave up a handful of runs, to say the least. But he threw 85 pitches yesterday.
Nice.
What?
Yes.
That's major like leaguers major don't league. Even get 85 pitches.
Yeah. He pitched into the them. he pitched five innings. Woo. Against the team. Or was it did he pitch four?
He pitched
four. Right. He pitched four.
And he painted the corners.
Now, let me ask this question to you guys. It was terrific, and we were very proud of him, how he hung in there. You know, he was throwing strikes, and, you know, the ball was finding grass, finding dirt. And then, you know, a couple times, the ump was just not giving it to him. And for some reason, he came out in the second inning. I don't know. I didn't ask him who put it on. He put on the eye block.
Yeah.
He put on, but not like it wasn't straight. It looked like, you know, cat whiskers. I don't know. Like I think he just kind of threw it on. Mm-hmm. There's no mirror in the dugout at the Little League. And so he came out. He had some attitude. He got out of one. It was a 1-2-3 first, as a matter of fact, right?
Oof.
And he had a lead, and then we lost the lead, and then we lost the game. But we're in the loser's bracket. The season is not over.
Season is not over.
Yes, the season is not over, as our,
like Pearl Jam,
friend
still alive.
Jim Sr. once upon a time said. So let me ask you this question. You can, Mike, and you, TJ, answer.
Yes, sir.
I sucked at baseball, so it's...
No, it's got nothing, like, this yeah. got nothing to do with it. Which
dumb.
One of
so
us...
I got into this.
Which one of us, Susie or me...
Yeah.
Okay.
Was ready to just get on the ump.
Oh, that's easy. Oh. That's an easy answer. Right
get
there.
On the ump and could not at times keep their mouth shut. Who is that person?
This could be bad because I love both.
You can't
of
point. You got to save for the radio audience.
Okay, for the radio audience, I'm going to say that is a Susie Schuster who probably lost her mind.
Would you agree with that?
I got to plead. I'm like Brady right now. Until I'm in the booth broadcasting, I'm pleading the fifth.
You can't
because I love you both.
So okay, but you
it's not a knock on either one of them.
I think she's got the moxie to do it, but I think you would be first.
You don't believe that, Mike.
Susie? Do you want to answer the question for everyone?
Look at her sitting there. You know
she's.
Let's put it this
way. Number one, I did not get arrested yesterday.
Susie, yesterday when you started to tell us about Cooper, you said something, and people on our YouTube page commented like. The second you used your mom voice, we all snapped to attention.
That's right.
So that should people know.
At what point, and my brother will be horrified, I yell, Cooper, deep breaths. And he goes,
okay.
And that's the moms true. Are like, wow, he really listens. I'm like, yeah.
See, but let me explain everybody about this existence that I'm in. Okay. Because I'm standing behind home plate. She's sitting in the stands and on occasion standing by the stands off to the side in between home plate and third base.
Stressful.
And when the ball goes towards the outside corner for a right-handed hitter, and my son's a lefty, so the ball kind of loops in and it's called outside. I can see it's outside and calls it a ball. Instead of getting on the umpire most of the time, because she did have some restraint on that front, it's Rich. That's not a strike. Like that. The umpire can hear her saying that to me.
But so she's not questioning him.
Right.
She's asking you.
Well,
it's his fault.
And the subtext is, why aren't you saying something to the umpire? That's the subtext.
I'm sorry. So this is ridiculous.
It's not just the umpire screwing it up. Am I taking this a little bit too?
You were actually more vocal yesterday than I've seen you in a while. You're usually very good. I'm not very good. I'm terrible. I can't take it. It's stressful.
Because I can't.
Can't take it.
I mean, that's the Rich
Eisen
show.
That's a strike.
It's the show banner out in right center field. You can't getting on blue right here. You know what I mean?
I mean, they can't kick you out now anymore.
Matt LaFleur coming up for the Packers. But it's the same way whenever we play golf, the rare times that we play golf.
Together.
and she's teeing it up, and I'm standing there. Waiting. And then she'll hit it, but not hit it to her satisfaction. And then she'll hit it as if the camera, you're me at home. She'll hit it, and she'll go like this.
Well, it's his fault.
And I'm like, what'd I do?
You exist. That's what you did.
You're not walking in the shadow. You're not doing like what Brockman does.
So it was
the
same thing yesterday with the ump. And how many times I would turn to him, I'm like, that was outside. That was outside. But a couple times you're like, Rich, that's not a strike. And I'd turn to you, I'm like, that was
a strike.
Was it Joe West?
I went a couple
doing it again.
I don't know. I mean, these guys, they
this was
hard,
not
man.
A 16-year-old high schooler yesterday. This was not the kid that I apparently terrorized last week. This seemed to be a grown man. This is a grown man.
I
with
did
an
that.
Absolutely abhorrent strike zone. and totally inconsistent. That was my problem with it. You got to have consistency.
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, you know, Susie, they're not paying a lot of money to these guys.
No, they're
I said, but they're paying money.
They're trying hard.
I did it. I did that.
You umped the sports
games? Oh, yeah. I loved it. I was a good. I did basketball. I did
basketball.
Oh yeah, little kids at the Y.
You're like,
oh, I was like the best. I
you
love
like little Gene Steratore. Huh?
Yes.
Growing up in New Jersey.
I used to love doing that.
Well, our nephews Jack and Sam do that. They ref.
Yeah,
they
I would
ref
love. I would do it right now if I could. I would.
Why
love
can't you?
Well, he's got too many jobs.
Too many boats.
Yeah,
he's
got to mic up Tom Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
Mic up Brady. He's got to go to Big Fox.
He doesn't mic up Tom Brady.
That's right. That's right.
He works on his faders.
He will go mic up Tom Brady.
I will go mic up Brady when he comes in.
Of course.
Just say hello.
Dude, you'd do anything.
Two shot.
Two goats.
You kidding me?
Two goats.
One thing that Brady, listen, I will tell, if you mic up Brady, I will tell, call him up, Michigan man to Michigan man. Make sure the batteries don't run out on him.
Oh, boy. That's cool.
And your ear pack.
I do that like five times a year, and I hear it all the time.
Five times a show? What are you talking about?
Five times a year.
It happened yesterday.
That ump sucked.
Stop that. Come on.
That sucked. That was the worst.
Come on, Suze.
Say it, Suze. Let them know how you feel.
We have games to play. He could be our ump. Be careful.
That's Suze Eisenhuffen.
That's right,
Charles.
The ump
knew that yesterday.
That's right, Charles.
Don't hold back,
Suze. By the way, you just got your answer as to which one did it, right?
I had a feeling.